Your slaves always request for dua. Your slaves always request for dua. Please fulfill the wish of every helpless, Ya Allah. Please fulfill the wish of every helpless, Ya Allah.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله
سبحان الله. Viewers of Madri Channel, welcome to the weekly Spiritual Cures. Before we begin, we're going to begin with the blessing of reciting Durood-e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam has reported to have said, the one who recites Durood-e Pak upon me 1,000 times a day, Allahu Akbar. Sounds like a lot, doesn't it, 1,000 times a day? It does sound like a lot, 1,000 times a day. But if you break it down to your 5 daily namaz, and if you read 100 before each namaz and 100 after each namaz, then that will make 1,000. And reading 100 Durood-e Pak, trust me, it will only take you 3 or 4 minutes. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, and this is the reward for 1,000 Durood-e Pak daily. Allahu Akbar. The one who recites Durood-e Pak upon me 1,000 times a day will not die. Allahu Akbar. Until he sees his place in paradise.
Allahu
Akbar. You know, the sabr by from this, you can almost, it's almost like a guarantee, isn't it, that you're gonna, because if it's your place in paradise,
it is a guarantee.
It's your guarantee, because if it's your place in paradise, then that means you're going to be there. So my dear viewers of Madri Channel, please make a habit of reciting Durood-e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. We've said it many, many times before, I'm going to continue to say it. But in our lives, we've wasted a lot of time, and it's best, the best way of utilizing any time that we have is using it in reciting Durood-e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah. Can we take 2 calls, please?
My name is Muhammad Abdullah from Bradford. The reason I'm coming to Fizan Medina was that recently my niece's mother-in-law was diagnosed with kidney failure. 3 days ago, she was told by the doctors that her kidneys had failed and she'd have to get a family that matched her kidney. Then I got gum water from Fizan Medina, and 3 days on, she had a dream about Amiri al-Sunnat that he requested that she send somebody to Fizan Medina for Tawizat. Alhamdulillah, after 3 days of having dumb water, her kidneys have started functioning from 5% to 22%. Alhamdulillah.
Allahu Akbar. Subhanallah.
Subhanallah.
Next call, please.
My name is Muhammad Imran from Bradford. Last week I came to Fizan Medina for Tawizat for a family dispute that was going on for a couple of weeks. Alhamdulillah, after getting the Tawizat, the following day the brother returned home. Alhamdulillah, and everything is fantastic.
Allah, the viewers of Madri Channel, this is just some of the bahas of Tawizat-e Atariyan. We heard that a person who had complete kidney failure, and they were looking for a match within the family for a kidney transplant. Alhamdulillah, they came to Fizan Medina, they were given some water, and Dam was getting on that water, and they took that home, and alhamdulillah, they were cured. Now, there's no guarantee, only Allah is the one that can guarantee that there will be a cure or not, but, you know, alhamdulillah, here is this Madani Bahar for us. So please, take use of the Tawizat-e Atari, make use of these. Alhamdulillah, wherever you are in the world, Tawizat-e Atari is virtually available everywhere. And it's completely free of charge. This is one thing I want to stress. A lot of people are now trying to use the name of Dawah Islami and charge money for Tawizat-e Atari. Just to make it clear to all of our viewers that all of the basti around the world, all of the Tawizat-e Atari, whatever it is, a phone number or istikhara or anything, the service is completely, and I mean completely, free of charge. No indirect cost, because people think, oh, there might be an indirect cost that we don't charge you for this, but we say to you, oh, you've got to buy this for us or buy that for us. No. Nothing whatsoever. Completely, completely, completely free of charge. What we decided to talk about today was we decided to talk about how we should treat our relatives. And, you know, relatives are something that we, you know, some people say, oh, you can't live with them and you can't live without them. But Islam has given us guidelines of how to treat our relatives. And before we begin in giving some of the Madani pearls from the Quran and Sunnah, I'm just going to give you a parable. It is stated in Jaise Karni, Vaise Bani Aai, you shall sow as you shall reap. A beautiful, very beautiful book consisting of many parables. In this book it says that two real sisters decided to marry their children with each other. The girl had a poor vision due to which she used to wear glasses. After some time, a discourse surfaced between both the sisters to such an extent that one sister said to the other one, I cannot marry my faultless son to your blind daughter. Having heard this, the other sister felt a massive shock because the one who had found fault with her daughter was not anyone else but her real sister. And as a result of this, these two sisters, they separated, they got angry and literally left each other. When the sister that had the faultless son, so to speak, when she reached home, she had a job that needed to be done. She needed to shift the iron pipes to the roof, which were kept lying downstairs. And she asked her son to help her in this work. Suddenly, as she was climbing up the stairs, the iron rod slipped from her hand and it hit straight away in the eye of her son to such an extent that the eye of the son came out of its socket. The socket came out of the eye and the son was completely blind. And as she saw her son writhing in pain there with the ball of the eye on the floor, she remembered the words that she had said to her sister, that I cannot marry my faultless son to your blind daughter. And now she started to feel ashamed of her manner, but there was no gain because her son had lost her eyesight. So my dear Islam brothers and viewers of Madani Channel, you know, people break relationships with each other, bring disgrace upon each other, commit the sin of hurting each other without any real valid reason. And unfortunately nowadays we see that within our relatives we break up for minor things, minor issues that we break up from. Everyone wants to, you know, mix with or associate with the rich relatives. Everyone wants to associate with the powerful, influential relatives. But nobody wants to communicate with or talk with or be with the poor relatives or the relatives that are not as influential as some of the other ones. And again, this is something that you need to ask your question that, you know, what is a relative? Is a relative someone that is rich or someone that's influential? Or is a relative someone that you are related to? And obviously, it's somebody that you're related to. So our relations between us and our relatives are not just on the basis of money, not just on the basis of status, but on the basis of the relationship that we have them, the blood that is running through the veins. And as such, we should respect our relations and look after them as much as possible. Allah Azza wa Jalla says in the Quran, and I'll give you the translation from Kanzul Iman, Allah Azza wa Jalla says in Ayat 38 of Surah Al-Rum, Allah Azza wa Jalla stated, therefore give the relative his right, and to the needy, and to the traveler. This is better for those who seek the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and only they have achieved their goal. In another Ayat of Surah Baqarah, Ayat 83, Allah Azza wa Jalla says, and be good to parents, and to relatives, and orphans, and the needy. So these are clear ayats of the Quran where Allah Azza wa Jalla is telling us, give the relatives the right. And another ayat Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying to us, and be good to your parents and be good to your relatives and the orphans and the needy. Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan Nahimi, rahmatullahi ta'ala, with regards to these two ayats that I mentioned to you, he summed them up, and basically it's quite a long summary. We're just going to sum up basically what he said. Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan Nahimi, rahmatullahi ta'ala, stated that in the blessed ayat we have been commanded to do our relatives a favor, to look after them. Favors should be done to parents as they deserve it the most. Other relatives are after the parents. Zil Qurba are the people who are your relatives through your parents. In Zil Maram, the closer is the relationship, the more will be his or her right. The relationship of the brother and sister is stronger, and the brother of the father and the brother of the mother. Therefore, they have the rights first. There are two types of relatives. Number one, the one with whom nikah is haram, such as the sister of the father and mother, etc. To serve them, listen to this, viewers of Madani, to serve them is fard. When they need, and if someone does not, he will be a sinner. Second type of relatives are the relatives with whom nikah is halal, such as cousins. To do them a favor and treat them well is sunnat-e muqaddah and brings a reward within it. In addition, it is necessary to treat all relatives well, whether all Muslims well, and to not to inflict pain upon them. And inflicting pain on any form of your relatives, or Muslims in fact, is haram. There are some mahram amongst in-laws and mid-relatives, such as mother-in-law and wet nurse, and some are non-mahram. All of them have rights. Even your neighbors have rights in Islam. Jeeta Sabarbai.
Those are the viewers who are suffering from stomach-related problems. It mentions here to read this ayat that I'm going to mention once. I'll give the reference first and then I'll mention the ayat. Chapter 23, Surah Al-Safat, verse number 47. It only needs to be recited once and then perform dhamm upon either something that you're going to consume, whether it's water, beverage, anything, something that you're going to consume, whether it's a drink or whether it's some food. So you perform, so you read this ayat once, perform dhamm upon whatever you're going to eat or drink, and then consume that, inshallah, and this stomach pain, inshallah, will be relieved.
How often?
Just the once, a just day once. Is fine.
And what was the ayat again, if you can
remember? And the ayat, the reference I've already given, the ayat is Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. لا فيها غول ولا هم عنها ينزفون. Remember to read Durood Sharif once before and once after. I did take out another spiritual cure in regard of eye problem. After each salah, once they've completed the salah, so with all the five salahs, once they've read, if they read Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim three times, and then perform them upon the tips of the fingers, and then rub them upon their eyes, and this they can do throughout their life, inshallah.
SubhanAllah.
This is cure for any illness, ill or hurting eyes, as well as improving the eyesight as well.
Viewers of Madani Channel, we were talking about treating our relatives and how we should treat our relatives. When the category of relationship changes, the levels of treating your relatives also changes. The status of the parents is the highest one amongst the relatives. Then comes the rank of those with whom nikah is haram forever due to the lineage. And then the rest of the relatives, according to the relationship, will also deserve good treatment as well. So, and what you need to understand as well is that a lot of people don't understand this, especially youngsters here when they're out with their friends and everything, and they say that that person needs to earn my respect. Yeah, I will only respect that person if he respects me. And unfortunately, you even get some used to saying that about their parents as well, that my parents don't respect me, so why should I respect them? Of you as a Madani Channel, remember this, that your parents don't have to earn your respect. It is obligatory upon you to respect your parents and look after your parents and treat your parents well. You know, and there's many, many hadiths, many, many waqiyah about the fact they treating the mother well, treating the father well, the feet of the mother being the paradise, and the door of paradise is the father. The anger of Allah Azza wa Jalla is in the anger of the parents, and the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jalla is in the pleasure of the parents. So it's very, very important, our viewers of Madani Channel, that we need to learn to look after our parents and respect our parents. What happens a lot is, especially here in the UK, where we've got like second generation and third generation people that have come over and have lived here, and some of their parents or some of the elders are those people that came from Pakistan or India or Bangladesh or some other country from around the world. And what happens is a lot of youngsters, they feel that, you know, my parents, they don't understand me. They don't know what I'm going through. They don't understand the problems that I'm facing. You know, they lived in a village when they were my age, and they don't understand what I'm going through. So what? It doesn't give you a right. If they don't understand you, let's agree with you for a moment that your parents don't understand you, okay? They don't understand you. They don't understand what problems you're facing. They don't understand what you're going through. They don't understand the day-to-day things that you are facing on a day-to-day basis. They don't understand the problems that you're facing at work, at college, at university, in your business. They don't understand what problems you are facing by filling in your accounts and all these things that you're facing on a day-to-day basis. Okay, they don't understand it. So what? Does not give you a right to disrespect your parents. Remember this. You have no right to disrespect your parents. You need to look after your parents and respect your parents. And a lot of people, you know, unfortunately, the things I hear and the things I've seen about how parents are being disrespected is very, very shameful. It is said that, you know, if your relative is not living with you or at a distance, or like a lot of relatives are going abroad, then the scholars are saying that you need to maintain contact even with your relatives that are abroad. What happens is our relatives go abroad and we forget about them. And in the past, the scholars used to say that you need to write letters to your relatives that are abroad. And you know, if you were to sit down, the viewers of Malik Channel, sit down with your elders and ask them that, what was it like when you used to receive a letter from Pakistan and India? And I'm sure that when you just say this, they will smile, you know, because they'll remember. And that's that link, that, you know, that relationship, it keeps that relationship going. Even as I'm talking, because the survivor is smiling in the background, that, yeah, it maintains the relationships. And nowadays, alhamdulillah, well, we've got social media and all these things. And again, we should try and maintain. And now it's easy. It's so, you know, at that time, it used to be so hard writing a letter, knowing what to write or not to write. I used to remember this, but they used to have these, like, blue envelopes. Aerogram, yeah, that's a word from the past, isn't it? Many viewers won't even know what an aerogram is.
That's been my age away, isn't it?
We should have a quiz today. What is an aerogram? An aerogram was basically, it was like a piece of paper, like that, and you used to fold it like this, and then fold it again, didn't you? Yeah?
So many folds. Yeah.
And it had four folds in it. And it was like, by airmail, it was blue envelope. And whatever you could fit on there was what you used to send. And people used to send them and write letters to each other. And that's how they maintain relations. And even then, alhamdulillah, the people of the past, they maintain these relations.
I wrote aerogram.
Showing your age, Tasavvur bhai. And in then times, you know, there was basically to communicate via phone, you know, to a lot of the viewers that I'm going to say this now, they're going to think we're talking about a different century. Yes, it was a different century, but it wasn't so long ago. We're talking probably about the 70s and the 80s, that even up into the 90s, mm-hmm. It was so expensive to make a phone call to Pakistan and India. I remember being young and they used to have to book calls. I remember telegrams coming. You know, when there was an emergency, when someone had passed away, a telegram would come, and a telegram would take a couple of days to receive.
Yeah.
So we received. Even when someone passed away.
Even when somebody was coming from Pakistan.
Yeah.
They send a telegram.
Telegrams used to come, and then I remember, you had to book a call. You had to phone up the GPO and book a call for tomorrow at 8 o'clock, 3 minutes, 4 minutes, whatever. And nowadays, you know, with social media, we can make these calls very, very easily. So again,
and another thing which sort of, I mean, it's from the past, and those viewers who of Mandi Channel who from that time they'll remember, they'll put a smile on their face as well. That look at that reunion of the family when somebody from Pakistan, for example, somebody's arriving here in the UK. You'd get a telegram 2-3 days before. You'd know they're coming. A full minibus, 16 people would get booked. And the whole family would go to receive, and then same when somebody was going away, the whole family would go and see him off.
I think it's become more common now. I even remember when I was late teens, such a boy is going to Pakistan, and all right, we're all going to Manchester for a meal, yeah. And they all took him out for a meal, and you know, and it was that kind of thing because it wasn't so regular because it was hard for people to visit back home. I know people that, even my own father, he didn't go back home until 18 years. He was 18 years in this country before he went home. And this was quite common then, and now people are going every 2 weeks, every 3 months, they're going back to Pakistan and India and visiting the relatives, and they're, you know, and they don't value, unfortunately, they don't value the relatives as much. Whereas the love was there that even though these people didn't go back to see the parents or the family for 15 years, 20 years, through letters, through booking phone calls that were very expensive, they maintained that relationship. And so it's very, very important that nowadays when it's so easy to maintain that relationship, it's so easy to make a phone call, to make a WhatsApp call to somebody anywhere in the world. And if we don't maintain them relationships now, then we need to ask ourselves the question that, you know, where are we going and where are we heading? Whereas the people of the past, alhamdulillah, they would maintain these relationships very well. When you visit your relatives, don't keep on like visiting all the time in the sense that morning, noon and night, yeah? There should be a gap between visiting relatives. Visit them one day, give them a break, visit them another day. And this builds the love. If you're just constantly on each other's feet, then obviously it creates problems. It is stated that if any of your relatives needs something, fulfill his need. Refusing to fulfill his need and not helping him despite having the ability is a form of breaking off relationships with him. Can we take a couple of calls, please?
My name is Mehnoor and I am from Bradford. Can I have a wazifa for dizziness? Jazakallah. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Dizziness. G, next call, please.
My name is Zara. I am from Bradford. Can I have a cure for brain tumor?
Allahu Akbar. You know, again, the viewers of Manichal, we don't realize how lucky we are when we look at our own health. The fact that we can see, the fact that we can hear, the fact that we can talk, Allah has blessed us with so much, we need to be shukr. And when we see people that are not as fortunate as we are, it makes you realize how lucky you are. Jeeta Savarbhai, are you ready?
I'm taking from Ailing Worship, page number 46. And it mentions that place the hand, whether if the person is doing it himself, then he places his own hand, or if somebody else is performing the dhamma, place the hand upon the head and recite this: Uskun sakkantuka billazi lahu ma fil layli wan nahari wa huwa as-sami'ul 'alim. This is spiritual cure number 58, Ailing Worshipper, page number 46. So you will repeat this 7 times and then blow upon the head, inshallah. If once you've done this one dham, and then you'll ask whether the dizziness or the pain has gone away. If it hasn't, then you can repeat it the second or third time. Inshallah, the way it will go away.
The other one was
regarding
the
brain tumor. Yeah. Let's give you that now. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. This one I'm taking from Madani Treasure of Blessings, the translation of Madani Pansura. This is taken from page number 247, and it's spiritual cure number 38, and it mentions that recite Ya Aliyu, 3 times and blow upon a tumor, inshallah that tumor will be healed.
Subhanallah.
Also, in connection with the brain tumor, something in our family actually, somebody who was suffering from brain tumor, and Tawizati Ataria was given to wear upon the tumor. When they went for the next checkup and they did the scan, the tumor was gone. So, those viewers of Madani Channel, if in the unfortunate event that somebody is suffering from brain tumor, then do visit your nearest Tawizati Ataria Basta and attain this Tawiz.
As we were talking about treating our relatives well, treating your relatives well does not mean that when they treat you well, you will treat them well too. That's called, you know, the people say that's called like reciprocation, that, you know, if they treat you well, then I'll treat them well. If they invite me to their wedding, then I'll invite them to our wedding. If they help me when I need something, I'll help them when they need something. That is not classed as treating your relatives well. It's like a trading, effectively. Yeah. But a lot of people do that to Sahib, don't they?
Yeah.
You see that, what happened? Oh, well, he didn't come to my wedding. You know, my dons were, so I'm not going to go to theirs. If, for example, you invite someone to a wedding and they don't come, then you should have positive thoughts. And this is, again, something that, unfortunately, that we don't have nowadays. That if your relatives don't come, then maybe they weren't well, maybe they were unwell, maybe they had transport issues and all these issues. And what we do is we don't even try to find out. We don't even make the call and say, oh, bye, everything okay, you didn't come to learn, I hope you're okay, is anything wrong? Rather than doing that, right, we won't even pick up the phone, and what will happen is we'll say, well, you know, he didn't come to my wedding, I'm not going to come to his. Yeah? Forget it. You know, and they'll use all sorts of terms that they'll say about their relatives. And they'll break relations just because that person didn't come to your wedding. And it could have been many reasons. It could be the fact that he wasn't well. It could have been the fact that they didn't have sufficient transport. It could have been the fact that, you know, they were in such a financial situation that they were not in a position to come to that wedding and were embarrassed because the financial situation was such that they didn't want to come there and feel embarrassed that they couldn't give anything. Yeah? And instead of finding this out or having this good positive thoughts about our relatives, we always think negative about them. We think, well, they didn't come to my wedding because of this, because of that, because of this, so forget it, in future, you watch. And what happens is, we build it up. We look at it for years and years and years, we wait for the opportunity, because what happens is, my child might have got married today, for argument's sake, yeah? But your child, my relative's child, might not be getting married for another 10, 15 years, and we'll remember it. 15 years ago, my child got married, this is what they did. I'm going to do the same today. Yeah? And I'm going to make it worse. I'm going to do this. And you know, is this how we should be doing? Should we be bring inside us all this, you know, memory of all these things that, you know, that our relatives have done against us, you know? You should learn to forgive. Yeah? We should learn to forgive our relatives. You know, everybody makes mistakes. Have you never made a mistake? Yeah? You must have made mistakes. But, you know, we're not willing to forgive each other. And you see people that their relatives, they fall out with each other. They don't talk to each other. They don't communicate with each other. And yet when that same relative, they've heard that relative has passed away, they're crying. What's the point of crying now when your relative's passed away? Wouldn't it have been better if before your relative had passed away, You're on friendly terms with your relative. You're on friendly terms with your brother and your sister. You see brothers, sisters, uncles, aunts falling out with each other. What? Over a piece of land the size of this iPad. You know, this is a piece of land this big. They fall out with each other. This is my land. No, it's my land. You know? And then they want extra money for the land. And you fall out with each other. Fall out with each other over a piece of land. Smaller than the land that you're going to be buried in. And people fall out with each other. And how we should also... Don't wait until it's too late to seek forgiveness from our relatives. You know, even if you are in the right, there's great blessings, there is great sawab. You know, so we need to learn to forgive each other. And, you know, life's too short. Trust me, life's too short. That if you lose your relatives, if you lose your loved ones, and you've not forgiven them, and they died in a state where you were not communicating with them, then you might regret it for the rest of your life. So viewers of Madani Channel, I've got a humble request to you. No matter what the problem is, no matter how much they've dishonored you, no matter how much they've disrespected you, whatever your relatives have done, and especially for those that have parents, if your parents have fallen out with you, if you're annoyed with your parents, if you're annoyed with your brothers and your sisters, if you've fallen out with them, these close unit family, especially them, then please, for the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jalla, make up. I humbly request each and everybody here that if you have broken relations with anybody in your family, then as far as I'm concerned, you can switch off the channel right now and ring them up and seek forgiveness. I won't be angry. Seek forgiveness from your relatives. Seek forgiveness from your mother, your father, your brother, your sister, your son, your daughter. And you know what? Some people think that, well, you know, if I seek forgiveness from them, then, you know, I'll be disgraced. You know, that, you know, he's younger than me. Why should I seek forgiveness from them? As a parent, you know, what is the harm? I know you shouldn't have to do this. What should happen is that the son should seek forgiveness from the father. But what is wrong if the father seeks forgiveness from the son? The reward is still there. And even if the net result is that, you know, the father and the son are back together. You know, so please, for the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jalla, for the sake of your own peace of mind. Because one day will come where that brother will no longer be there. One day will come when that sister will no longer be there. That mother will no longer be there. That father will no longer be there. Your wife will no longer be there. Your husband will no longer be there. Your son, maybe. Maybe your son will die before you. Maybe your sister, your daughter will die before you. And then you will regret that you never made up with them relatives. So please, my humble request to you is please make up with your relatives before they pass away. I'm looking at my phone for some way because its messages are flicking. I've got a few for you because time's against us. I'm going to give you a few here. If you can look for these, please. I'm from Gloucester. I want to get rid of my phobia. I'm really scared of snakes. Even from the pictures of snakes. Can you please tell me a spiritual cure for this? Also, remember me in your du'as. The next one. The brother saying that I've got high BP, high blood pressure. Any cures for that? My name is Mr. Khan, BD3.
Brother from Gloucester, the phobia regarding snakes and pictures. If this particular spiritual cure I've taken from Treasure of Blessings, page number 247, spiritual cure number 40. This particular spiritual cure needs to be recited 16 times every day with the Rushif before and after. Ya Hafizu, Ya Hafizu, Ya Hafizu. It's got a wa at the end. Ya Hafizu, 16 times with the Rushif before and after. Inshallah. And that fear of that phobia should
inshallah.
Be removed. Inshallah. And then finally the message regarding the brother suffering from high blood pressure. There is I think he mentioned Bradford anyway, so we have a Tawizat Yatariya Basta here in Bradford as well, so I will recommend that he comes and takes a Tawiz for high blood pressure. We have got one which a Tawiz which is in particular for high blood pressure. But I also give you, it's a, more of a remedy than a spiritual cure. It's taken from Ailing Worshipper, page number 54, it's home remedy number 2. And it mentions to take bitter gourds and then cut them into small pieces and then leave them to dry.
Viewers of Mother Channel, if you do not know what bitter gourd is,
Karela. Yeah.
In Urdu Punjab they call it Karela. You know, it's very curvy.
Ji. So if you take bitter gourd,
I find it hard to eat it, to be honest.
It's brilliant. I love it.
Is it? I find it hard.
It reminds me of my mum now. You know, when we were little, and mum used to say, "Eat karele and your mullahs will never hurt, your aram will never hurt."
SubhanAllah.
And that was the thing. I mean, I love them now, but at that time, that was the thing that used to make me eat them. So cut bitter gourds into small pieces and then leave them to dry. And this is along with the seeds, so don't throw the seeds away. The seeds are handy here as well. So cut the bitter gourd into small pieces, leave them to dry, the bitter gourd as well as the seeds.
Yeah.
Once they've dried, then you'll grind them, making them into powder.
Okay.
And then what you'll do is you'll take half a spoon in the morning and half a spoon in the evening. And due to this, inshallah, your sugar level will, for those who are diabetic, sugar level will normalize.
And your BP as well.
Blood pressure as well as cholesterol will normalize, inshallah.
Views of Mother Channel, they're very common illnesses nowadays.
All three, I think I mentioned.
All three of them, cholesterol, diabetes, and blood pressure. It's a very common illness, and this is a beautiful wazifa. That basically karela, bitter gourd, get karela, and the reason for cutting it into small pieces is that it'll dry a lot quicker. So once it's dried, leave it to dry, and don't take out the seeds, let it dry, and once it's dried, then grind it, and make it into powder, and 1 teaspoon?
Half a spoon in the morning, half in the evening.
A spoon in the morning, and half a spoon in the evening, inshallah, azawajal. And hopefully, inshallah, azawajal, BP, diabetes and cholesterol. And I think that many, many viewers that are watching here today that will be having at least one of these illnesses. If not, there will be people in your family that have
them. There's very far and few households.
That's what I'm saying. So viewers of Mother Channel, please remember this and pass this on to others also. So I'm going to repeat it one more time. Karela, bitter gourd, let it dry, grind it, half a spoon in the morning, half a spoon in the evening. Viewers of Mother Channel, time is against us. There are many, many calls that we've still got many, many messages. And inshallah we'll take these over to the next week. We've also got messages for dua. I pray to Allah Azza wa Jalla that all the viewers that are watching here today, whatever illnesses that we have, I pray to Allah Azza wa Jalla that we are given a full cure with this. May Allah Azza wa Jalla cure all the people that are ill today. And may Allah Azza wa Jalla also give patience and sabr to all those people that are looking after those people that are ill as well. Whether they're at home, whether they are in hospital, I pray to Allah Azza wa Jalla that they make a full recovery and that they become the coolness of the eyes of the rest of the relatives. And we'll be talking today about relatives, so please look after your relatives, especially your sick and ill relatives. If they are in home, then please go and visit your sick relatives. If they are in hospital, then please go and visit them and look after them. Okay. Viewers of Mother Channel, you've been watching Spiritual Cures on Mother Channel. I first of all like to apologize to all those people that have sent in their calls that we've not got through to them. Inshallah, we'll try and get through to them as soon as possible and give you the spiritual cures. If not, then wherever there is a local Tawizat Basta, please go there. Keep watching Madani Channel. Sallu ala al-Habib.
Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad.
You slaves always request for dua. You slaves always request for dua. Please fulfill the wish of every helpless, ya Allah. Please fulfill the wish of every helpless, ya Allah.